Bibles to Matthew chapter 2 this morning. Though we do not regularly follow a liturgical calendar in our church, I often find myself using the passages at the birth of our Lord in order, as much as I understand them to be. And it usually happens this last Lord's Day of the year, we're considering Matthew chapter 2 because of the arrival of these wise men from the east that came to worship him. So I'd like to read together this morning verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. Now, as we read these passages year by year, we're reminded how God works in the affairs of men. And he has a plan. Some of those plans are hid from eternity past until they come to fruition in our experience. And surely this is the greatest of all. Some have entitled the greatest love story. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ is God the Son. He came into this world. We sang about it over and over through these weeks, even today. That word Emmanuel means God with us. God became a man. John chapter 1, verse 14, we beheld his glory, even as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's an amazing concept that God, first of all, would, and then how he did it all, it came to pass. It's beyond mankind's estimation. Some have tried to criticize the word of God and say it's just man's stories about their understanding of God. And yet, as you read the Bible, you realize man wouldn't have written it this way if man had invented it. There would have been some encouragement to praise people rather than God. There would have been means to do things, ways that God would not be so evident in his own power without man's aid. It reminds me of the story. A little boy came home from Sunday school. He hadn't gone much. And mom said, "Well, what did they talk about in that Sunday school you went to this morning?" He said, "Well, it was a great story about Moses, how he led the children of Israel over the Red Sea, and they built these pontoon bridges, and they all went over on the dry bridge, went over to the new land." And mom said, is that really what they told you?" He said, "Well, no, but you wouldn't believe what they said." You know, it was so amazing. God would open the sea and they walk over on dry land. And for someone who had never heard it before, it was hard to comprehend. And so it is with this Christmas event that Jesus came into the world as a little baby, born of the Virgin, and all these things came to pass. It happened as God planned it in a unique way. One of the things that is unique about it is fulfilled prophecies that God recorded in the Bible hundreds of years before they came to pass. One of them is referenced here. As the wise men came and asked where he should be born, the king went and asked the people who ought to know, the chief priests and the scribes there. These were the religious leaders that studied, supposedly, the scriptures. The scribes copied them out. The chief priests were supposed to know what they meant and obey them and use them in their worship activity for the Lord. And the amazing parts to me is, first of all, they knew the answer and didn't go. Can you imagine that? I mean, they had it written down. They had more knowledge about God's promise of bringing the Savior into the world than these wise men. They had it all written down. They knew exactly where to find it. They quoted the verse, but they didn't have the inclination or the determination or even the desire to go. You see, there's more important our reception and obedience to the Word of God than just knowing it. I fear that over the years we have become accustomed to an accumulation of information. We know a lot of facts. Some of our churches over the past years have used things called catechisms to teach our young people about their faith. And a catechism is a group of questions and answers. And they're good for imparting information. But if that's all you do is memorize the answers to the questions, that's not enough. There must be personal application of the information. You must trust the Lord. You must come unto Him, not just know where He was born and when it came to pass and all the details. These wise men had very little compared to the Jewish leaders, the scribes and the chief priests, but they had the desire. They came looking for the one that was promised. Now, some have postulated, how did they know this? I don't know all the answers to that. I think part of it could be what was recorded in the book of Daniel. For he had been a wise man amongst those in the East during his lifetime and a leader of them. And this prophecy about a star coming and leading them was given Old Testament in the Bible. And I believe all those things come together. But the unique thing about these wise men were, what little they had, they put to practice. They came. They felt God wanted them to go and to worship this newborn king. And they brought what they had. They had treasures, gifts. And we often hear about three wise men. It doesn't really say that. It said there were wise men that came and they opened treasures, which were gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but we don't really know how many they were. I tend to think there were a whole lot more than three. I don't think that three men from the east coming into Jerusalem would cause them to be troubled. But if you have a whole entourage coming in, which is what I envision, it would cause some interesting speculation by the people of Jerusalem, especially when you know the history that these wise men from the east were well known as people who were involved in politics, setting up kings and taking down kings and all kinds of other things that we don't see all here in Scripture. But the most important part is what God put down for us, is to understand that God had been working in the hearts of some from the east to come and worship Him. And they provided for Him what He was going to need for the next step of the journey. I didn't read those verses, but we'll look at them at another time. Perhaps verse 13 through 15 describe God's revealing to Joseph to get out of there because Herod would seek for the young child to kill him. And so they left when Jesus was just a few days old, and they went to the temple to present him as a baby boy was to be presented according to the Jewish custom, and they brought their offering. They were poor. They brought the offering of someone too poor to bring a lamb. But now they need to go and live in a foreign land for a while. They'd been provided with gifts, treasures, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were able to relocate and stay there for however long it was till they came back when he was a young boy. God guides, God provides. And often he provides in ways we'd never think of. I'm sure as Joseph and Mary had settled down there in Bethlehem after the birth of the Savior, they'd found a place to dwell. They came into the house, these men did, when they worshiped Jesus. By the way, one of my pet peeves at this time of year is when you have a representation of the birth of the Christ and you have the wise men and the shepherds gathered around the cradle. That's not what it said. The wise men came later. In fact, as we go down through the scriptures where it describes the destruction that Herod wrought on the people of Israel, he told them to kill all the young children, the young boys, 2 years old and under. Because notice what I read before, go search for the young child, and I might come and worship him also. But verse 7 said he inquired diligently what time the star appeared. How long has it been since you saw that star? He had an estimation of the age of Christ at the time of the wise men's visit. So then I see in this story here the example of good men seeking to obey God and to worship the Lord are confronted with evil men that lie and plot and try to destroy the very work God is doing. Doesn't that describe our world today? Oh, what a mess we have today. All this hatred and killing and destruction, politics and all this stuff that's used in the wrong way. Politics is supposed to be how people work together to solve problems. And fortunately, it seems to be becoming more and more the way a few people work hard to get above others to push themselves. It ought not to be that way. But in the midst of all this mess we see on the news and here, remember, God's still God. He still has people who love him and obey him, and they're going to work and follow him by faith, and God will provide. Now, imagine the journey these men took. This is in a day when the only way to get anywhere was either to walk, ride on an animal, or something was pulled by an animal, or get in a ship. There was no easy way to get from where they were in the east over to where Bethlehem was, and so they traveled. We don't know how long. It seems to be almost 2 years from the time the star appeared to the time they asked. You said, can you imagine following the goal for 2 years to arrive and then not knowing exactly where you're going? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And they didn't have it all, but they had enough, and they acted on what they had. They believed a promise of a king would be born in Jerusalem's area, in the land of Israel. They took up what they had provided and brought it looking for Jesus. They didn't know all the answers. But then they went, this has always intrigued to me, they went to Herod the king. And they asked him, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have come to worship him. You see, they thought that since they were involved because they loved God and wanted to obey him, why, surely everybody would. Surely the people in the land of his birth would want to honor him and be interested in his welfare, and they would want to encourage others to be involved in it. Surely everybody would love God's fulfillment of prophecy. Just as we see today, evil people don't love the Lord. They oppose him and try to destroy his work. Herod was a liar. You can read in history of his terrible jealousy, his insane jealousy of others. He was so jealous of his authority as king, he killed many of his children. In fact, they tell us that when he was old and sickly, ready to die, he had imprisoned all the wealthy people of the area and given orders that when he died, they were to kill them all, so somebody would be sorry when he died. He wanted somebody crying. I believe that they didn't obey his order. But can you imagine somebody so cruel as that? But that's who he was. He lied and pretended. And, you know, evil men, especially those in places of authority and power, think, well, I can get away with it. I'm in control. But I see in this story here an example when God overrules the evil schemes of men. God is able even to use the evil workers to fit into his plan. And he called the chief priests and the scribes together and asked them, where should he be born? And they told him. And the wise men were happy to get the information. And then, after he falsely said, well, you go find him. I want to come worship him. They heard him. They departed. Did you notice this next part? And lo, verse 9, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Well, where had it been? They started out following a star, but I don't get the idea here from this the scripture that they actually had that star all the way. They saw it, and then they didn't see it, but they knew the direction, and they went on. And then it appeared again and led them to the exact place. Well, why didn't it show up before so Herod wouldn't be involved? God has a plan that we don't know about. Some of the parts of God's plan are hard for us to comprehend. And all the judgment of God upon the sinful activities of people in past generations in the nation of Israel, some of it came down upon them when it was fulfilled of the prophecy spoken by Jeremiah and Ramah. There's a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children. They would not be comforted because they were not. It's verse 18. Talking about how when Herod sent out his soldiers to kill the children, it was part of God's judgment on a disobedient, rebellious nation. Yet in the midst of punishment, God provides the solution. And they came and they saw the star and they rejoiced. And they came and saw where he was. And then they came into the house with Mary's mother and they fell down and worshipped him and gave him the gifts. And then verse 12, being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed unto their own country another way. Now, I wonder why they believed Herod at the first. And now God chooses to let them know he's a liar. Go home a different way. You see, God doesn't always give us all the information we're going to get today. He leads us step by step, faith by faith. We live one day at a time. We have a song in our experience that we've heard. And it's true. Living by faith is not having a grand picture of the whole plan from birth to death. It's trusting God every day. Trusting him when you wake up in the morning and you go out and serve by faith and do what's right and trust that he will provide understanding as we need it. One of the hardest parts for many people as a Christian follower of the Lord's way is, I don't know what he wants, but you know enough today. He gives it as we go, not maybe as we would like. Some have said, well, God, show me your will. And they want the plan put down before them. So they say, oh, okay, I see. I'll do this then. And 10 years later, I'll be here. And they say, all right, I agree. And they stamp their approval. It's not the way it works. God says, here am I. You just follow me day by day, every day. And I'll lead you all the way. And God provides as we need it. He provided them enough to start out. He provided them the wherewithal to bring the gifts the Lord would need. He provided them the opportunity to be a witness even to those who oppose Christ and God's plan. And then he provided them a way to escape from the evil deviousness of Herod. And they went home another way. And then God provided for our Savior, verse 13, when they were departed, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. He arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed unto Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. If you read through the book of Matthew, you'll see repeated over and over those words, it was fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Sometimes we can find those prophecies in the Old Testament. Sometimes they were prophecies that only God knew about and put it in Scripture, but it's not recorded in our Old Testament. But God knew what he promised, and God fulfills what he promised. By way of application now, we come to this thing. Sometimes I've entitled this message, Wise Men and Fools. There were wise men that came. What did they do? They worshiped him. But there were fools. First of all, there was Herod, who opposed him in his pride and hatred for God's way, because he exalted himself. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. I warn you, every one of us, whether we're followers of Christ or not, beware of pride. It'll lead to your own destruction. Because Herod thought he was in control, because he had a name that said he was king of the Jews by the decree of the Romans. But there's greater than the Romans. There's God. God sets up and God takes down. You read the Old Testament story, again, the book of Daniel, of Nebuchadnezzar, that great king of Babylon, the first great world empire, exemplified by the head of gold in that statue that he saw in his dream. And God had to humble that man. At the end of all that humiliating experience, he came out and said, I know the Most High ruleth in the affairs of men. He lifts them up and he sets them down. Out of the basest of men, he lifts them up. See, in other words, Nebuchadnezzar had to say, God's in control, I'm not. Herod tried to exalt himself in opposition to the Lord. But you know, the chief priests and the scribes were foolish as well. For though they are not actively involved in opposing the work of God and bringing the Savior into the world, they don't care. They had information. They could answer the question. But they didn't get up and go worship him. You know, that's what the world today has full of people today, especially this time of year, who know the answer. Who is Jesus? Well, he was the one born in Bethlehem. We worship him at Christmas time, God's son. And they may be able to answer a lot of the information. Maybe they even know it's in Micah chapter 5, the prophecy was made. But have they come and worshiped him individually? See, that's where the wisdom comes. You can miss Christ because of your rebellion and sin and opposition, or because of your indifference and you're self-satisfied. Well, I know the answers. Miss heaven by 18 inches, the old preachers used to say, from your brain to your heart. Now, I know your heart is a pump, but the scripture uses that phrase to describe our inmost person, our part of us that chooses and obeys and loves. And the different descriptors, there's the heart, there's the will, there's the mind, all those things refer to the non-physical part of us that makes us unique. In fact, one of the questions that I, if God would remind me when I get to heaven, I would like to know, where does the brain end and the mind begin? Many of you may have friends or loved ones who've suffered with mental illness and struggle with the results of those chemical imbalances that cause people to be crazy in their thinking. And I wonder, how can something physical affect the spiritual? I don't know the answer. I know it happens. I've seen the evidence of it. But God knows it all. And the truth is, we must receive Christ by faith individually. Every one of us, one by one. I recall the testimony of my friend Ralph Lenz years ago. He grew up in a more traditional church where they had catechism and all of that. It happened to be the Lutheran group. And he believed all his life Christ died for the sins of the world. That's where it ended with him. He said, yeah, I know that. I believe that. Finally, while he's in the Army Air Force in World War II, somebody shared with him over in Italy, well, have you ever asked the Lord yourself to save you individually? Have you ever called on the name of the Lord to be your Savior? Finally, God opened his eyes, said, yes, Christ died for the sins of the world, but I need to appropriate that offer personally. And one guy has written a book, some of you have a copy of it, One by One, W-O-N by O-N-E. Every one of us must come to God individually. We are not born in America, therefore, quote, Christians. No, we're born again by faith in Christ, just as Nicodemus, who met Jesus at night, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Jesus told this ruler of the Jews, this religious man who knew a lot, was a teacher, a leader in the group, "You individually and every one of the others individually need to be born again. You need to trust Christ personally as Savior." And the Bible promises in Romans, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So as we remember the example and the story of these wise men, are you wise or foolish? Have you come to follow him as he's directed you? You don't know it all. If you followed him as much as you can and trust him to give you the next step along the way, have you turned from self in indifference to trust him? Stand together with me for invitation, please.